the great falling away. Good morning, church. Today, Pastor Sammy will show us from God's word in 2 Thessalonians and Paul's letters to Timothy how the times are right for there to be a mass exit from Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit has him to show us this horrific tragedy so that those of us who are truly in Christ Jesus will hold on to him with everything we have in us.
The song, I Need You More, is more powerful than you probably anticipated. That this morning message is going to be so connected to that song. And what the kids were singing, the Lamb of God, I sat there and I was thinking perhaps that should have been the song before I got up to preach. Because you don't understand what the Spirit is doing right now in the earth. God wants you to know. God wants you to see what's going on. And Miss Vicky, what a glorious melody. And no, I don't have something growing from me. I just threw the recorder down there like that. So I don't match it. Please give God your undivided attention this morning. Jesus wants you to see this. There's no one greater than him. When God sent Jesus into this world, understand what the condition of the world was like when he came. Understand the history of Israel. What was the Romans doing to the free world? They were oppressing it. And people were being slaughtered by the thousands. And the Romans could give a hoot whether or not you lived or died, long as you served them and satisfied them. And they didn't care about the manner of death in which you died. They didn't care about the pain they inflicted. All they cared about was the supremacy of Rome. And that the Empress reigned supreme throughout his conquered territories. But you see, there was something else that was behind this. There's something else that God was doing. And the part that no matter how ugly the situation was when Rome was oppressing the free world, understand what God was about to do. Heaven was ripe for what God was about to do. And what God did that night in Bethlehem, it didn't matter what Rome was doing. It didn't matter that the other parts of the world was plagued with diseases and people were losing their lives and the ground wasn't producing much fruit. Those things did not matter because God seen the greatest need for man. It didn't matter at that moment that there was an adversary in the spirit world that was seeking to destroy us. And it didn't matter that the Gentile nations were far from God, the one true God. We did not know him. Our ancestors did not know the one true God. What mattered at that point in time in human history is what the Father was about to do. And that was to bring forth his son, Jesus, the greatest light that the world had ever seen. The world had experienced some wonderful, wonderful things earlier in the eyes of God as he plagued Egypt, as God brought Israel out with a mighty hand. The world had never seen anything like that before. Even though there was no televisions, there was no radio, no buses and cars, no airplane, not in modern technology, but yet the word spread it fast. In that time, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, the countries knew that the God of Israel was God. But yet, given all of that, given all what the nations around them had heard, God was saying to Israel and to the world, I got something greater coming than what I did to Egypt. They didn't know. And if you were a people that was in slavery for 400 years, what could have been more better than your freedom, than your liberty, than you get the ability to make your own decisions? What was greater than your children not being oppressed and you have the whip of a taskmaster going across your back all the time? What was greater than being liberated from those things? Well, God said, the greatness was not involved in human affairs. The greatness was not involved in what men could do to each other. The greatness was involved with God Himself and God alone. And John said it. John said it very clear in his opening statement in his gospel, that it wasn't by flesh and blood that God brought Jesus. And it wasn't by the will of man, okay? Man had nothing to do with it. It was the pure will of God that God brought his son Jesus here. That's it. No other purpose. And when you and I get that, today, we have got to hold on to it. As a 17-year-old daughter, she's got to be able to look and see this. As a 30-year-old father, you've got to see this. You know, and no matter what our job is in life, you've got to see this. And this thing is so deep that when God brought forth his firstborn son, the angels came down here and testified to shepherds who didn't have good reputations. They testified, look what just happened in Bethlehem, in the city of David. Look what God just did for you in all humanity. Because they didn't lead the Gentile nations out in their declaration that night. And their proclamations on that hillside, out there in that field, those angels did not leave out the Gentile nations. Because at the end of their discourse, one of the things that they said that night, he said, look, peace on earth and goodwill towards who? Men. He did not forget us, because the angel was speaking not just of Israelites, but was speaking of humanity, the entire human race. Okay? So not only for Israel was a king born that was in the stable, but for all the world, Christ the Savior. Christ the Savior. That's what he was saying. And people, you know, when those shepherds got there that night, do you realize, if we like to call it the Christmas night, do you realize what they saw that night? They saw something so great that it literally brought tears to their eyes. Grown, rugged men crying as they laid eyes upon the Son of God in that manger. It was the greatest thing they had ever saw. And you know what? God had already set the course for them by blessing them with a heavenly presence. Can you imagine being this group of people, shepherds, out at night watching sheep, right? And all of a sudden, this angel appears to you and he began to give you the gospel from heaven. And then you imagine this, thousands upon thousands of his colleagues standing around and they begin to sing to God. And you're witnessing this. What would you do if that happened to you? And it's all was surrounding a little bitty baby in a manger whose name is Jesus. And you mamas, can you imagine? Okay, if it was you that just birthed the Son of God that night, what if it was you? What if you was Joseph standing there watching a child come into the world? And the moment you see his presence, the Holy Spirit is all over you. Can you imagine that? And even the farm animals that was in the stable that night, can you imagine the anointing of God on the farm animals too? Because they were there, to me, representing that God was bringing creation along with man back in harmony with himself. Wow. One of the greatest gifts, not just to man, but to the entire creation. As Paul gives us in Romans 8, that creation moans and groans for what? For the revealing of the sons of God. The earth is waiting. The stars are waiting. Everything is waiting. God, where are your children? And God said, I'm going to give you the firstborn. There he is. And the animals, they get to see him before the king did. Wow. Look at that. And all the hierarchies of heaven are watching. That means the archangels, you don't think they weren't nearby watching? You bet you. Because you thought they would allow Lucifer to get next to that baby? No way. No way. So that day, the earth, when God birthed the sun here, the greatest thing happened in the spirit world and in the physical world, when God brought himself as a baby into this world. And the earth must have sensed God's presence that day. Whew! Do you understand that night? Because it was all about Jesus. The angels in the field did not tell those shepherds, go and see Mary and Joseph. That's not what they said. They said, born unto you this day in the city of David is Christ the Lord, the Savior. Go see him. Yeah, go see him. And you know what? Those men, the Bible tells you and I in Luke 2, that those men were so excited when they got there and found things just the way the angels say they were. Now, that would have really made me freaked out, because, you know, all these strange folks just showed up out in the field, and we know they're not earthly, and then we get there and everything they said was happening was happening. I go, oh, Lord God, forgive me. God just came and visited us. And the angel was saying, look, God just come visit you. God is with you. Huh? Emmanuel, God is with you. That means he's here right now. That's him right there. And you know, what were you, the responsible parent? What would you do if you were Mary and Joseph that night? I mean, from that moment forward, your life would never be the same, because this just wasn't an ordinary baby that you were responsible for. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. That means now your parental responsibilities exceeds every human principle, every human expectation. Your responsibilities and your chores for this child just come from the throne of God and God only. Can you imagine that? That means every thought given into this baby, it had to come from God. And your every action as a father is Joseph standing there. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, Lord, am I going to get this right? Am I going to do this right? And what about when he told you, like Max does something now, and you want to hit him on his honey? But you go, that's the Son of God. You don't hit the Son of God on his honey. I don't know. I'm just thinking like a man right now. But can you imagine, though, when the wise men showed up? Can you imagine that? When the Magi showed up after traveling weeks and weeks from Mesopotamia, and they go directly to the palace, and they said, you know, they make this bold statement that literally shook the foundation of Jerusalem, because the scripture tells us so. When they got there, they said, where is he who had been born king of the Jews? Now, if you were the reigning king and somebody came in and said that to you, that means you now are thinking, boy, who is about to take my place? Am I being booted out? Yes. Not only you, but every other king on earth, because this baby is now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay? And so that night, when the wise men showed up, listen to me carefully. That entourage, they weren't just any adversaries. I mean, emissaries that came, not adversary, emissaries that came. When they showed up, they came with gold and what else? Frankincense and what else? Myrrh. They came with the best that Mesopotamia had to offer. Okay, gold fit for a king, and frankincense for the aroma of God. Come on, somebody. Like a sweet-smelling savior, reach a word and understand. And myrrh was for the anointing of his death. Okay, when they would anoint his body. That means the baby, who is the king, was also had to die. Okay? But when they came in that night, Miss Vicky, King Herod was so perplexed. He was so, in fact, he was probably even disoriented at the news. And he went and sought for his advisors. Where is it written that this is supposed to happen? And you know what? They beat feet and they searched the scriptures. And they came back. And they talked about where the baby was to be born. Oh, God is setting the stage for you here. Because the title of the message today is The Great Falling Away. And you got to understand, what is it that they're falling away from? What is it that man now is running away from at a very rapid rate? You understand? What took place that night in Jerusalem when those wise men showed up? Because they were led by God there. They didn't know the customs and traditions of Israel or of King Herod. And you know what? They didn't allow the threats to stop them, because there was evidence that God was with them. And when those priests came back to King Herod and they said, listen, it's written. It's written. Bethlehem of Ephrathah, great of you are you are the least among the great ones of my people, and out of you shall come a ruler or a governor, and he shall do what? He shall lead my people. And the scripture tells us when King Herod heard that, not only was he troubled, but it said all of Jerusalem was troubled, because the word got out. King Herod going to be replaced. There's another king. Huh? There's another king. Yeah, there's another king. But see, Herod, he was too spiritual blind to understand that God was setting a new king up on the king up on the throne of David. And it wasn't going to be an ordinary human being, an ordinary man. And when they went and followed the star to Bethlehem. Isn't it amazing what God did that night? Come on, somebody. You got to understand what took place that night. That the star stopped in Jerusalem. And when the wise men went in looking and didn't find a baby, did you know the star moved again? And it took them where they needed to be. And it stood right over that place there in Bethlehem, 5 miles southeast of Jerusalem. Can you imagine that, Miss Vicky? You can get up if you want to. Listen. What went through Mary's and Joseph's mind that night when this great entourage walked in that stable? And they knelt down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they presented him the gold. And they presented him the frankincense. And they presented him the myrrh. As they prostrated themselves before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I wonder what was going through Joseph's mind as he stood and watched this. And Mary, as she held the baby, or he may have been laying in the manger. What went through their minds as they watched this? And better yet, what went through the minds also of the animals that were there as they watched this take place? Wow. Folks, that night established something for you and I. It established that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus later would give us that statement as he talked with Nicodemus some 30 years later. He would tell him that. Because Nicodemus was not in that state, you know, he was not in that stable that night. Neither was he in the field when the angel showed up. Okay? And where was the other religious leaders? Where were the high priests that night? God did an amazing thing, dear young deacon, that this one the Holy One of Israel, just sent his son to Israel and to the rest of the world. And we're going to pray. And through him, that the world might be saved. All right? In order to understand the great falling away, you need to understand what God did. And today, by the Holy Spirit, you five get to hear this. And I wish it could be thousands sitting out here, but it's not. But you two are blessed by God to hear this for a reason. And you're to take it and run with it. And you're not to neglect what God is about to say to you and what he's saying to me in this. And we're to appreciate the glorious Son of God with all our heart. And we're to love God's Son just the way we're to love God. And what way is that? With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. That's how we're to embrace him. Okay? Even when we don't feel like worshiping, well, even when we don't feel like loving him, okay, we still must do what? Love him. Like the psalmist said in Psalms 2, kiss the Son, and it's talking about Jesus. That's a prophetic psalm, okay? That means kiss Jesus, embrace Jesus, love Jesus, unless the Son hates you. That was said 1,000 years earlier. That there would be a price to pay for rejecting Jesus. Okay? A huge price. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, these moments are all about you and Father, Almighty God. Lord, we're asking that you show up huge right now. And I know you already have, because I didn't know how to lay this out, but you did, Holy Spirit. Your people, your children need to hear this. They need not only hear this message, Lord God, but they need to look and see the times in which these things are happening. And they need to know that your word is true. Just like those shepherds abiding in the field that night when the angels came and gave them the gospel from heaven. And they ran to Jerusalem. And they ran on down to Bethlehem and they saw things happening. Just the way they were. And Lord, today, 2,000 years later, that message hasn't changed, nor have the actions of Christ changed in all the earth. Lord Jesus Christ, you're still doing the things that you were doing when you were here, except you're doing them from heaven. And you're doing them through your children. And Lord, I pray that you use this message to strengthen us by the Spirit, to encourage our hearts to look and see and help us to redeem the time, because these moments are precious. So Lord, I'm asking you now to move by the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way now. Touch everyone that's here, Lord God. Remove everything that will hinder us from hearing the gospel. That keep us, Lord Jesus, as you said, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Lord, help us to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit now. For your word, they are life and they are spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit, as we glorify God and Lord Jesus with our listening and with our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. So if you don't have one, you can grab one off the shelf. It's very close to you, baby. Second Thessalonians, we're going to look at chapter 1 and chapter 2. And of course, we'll look at a couple of things written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you and that you have to see the greatest person that ever walked the earth in human form, who took on flesh and blood, who did something so amazing for you and me that it blew creation's mind. And you know what? The animals that night in that stable did not reject Christ. Do you hear me? The men that came on the visit with their entourage did not reject Christ. They came looking for him. Mary and Joseph did not reject Christ. They took care of him. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you this for a reason, that young Christian sitting in the back, you have to embrace Christ as if you were his mother Mary. And not only to love him like a mother loves her child, but also as a servant girl who's saying, Lord, let your will be done. As Mary subjected herself to the message of God when Gabriel showed up, this is the way that you and I have to do that. Okay? And you and I have to be like Joseph also. We have to be willing to protect this child at all costs. And Joseph, at the leading of the Spirit of God, speaking to him in a dream, when Herod sought out to kill the baby, did what? Took him and Mary, and they got on down to Egypt. And there they stayed until God killed Herod. Okay, so as a father, you have to embrace Christ as if he's your own child. You got to love him and protect him. That means you have to protect the things of Jesus. Clinton, you and I as men and as fathers, we have to protect the things. In other words, we don't allow anyone to come in and upset those things in which Christ has put in place. And as mothers, you all handle the delicate things, the finer things of Christ. Christ loved when women can just come and humble themselves before him. He loved that. He loved it. Because through your humility, he has made you a great warrior. You're not weak because you weep. You're not weak because you get on your knees. You're strengthened because you get on your knees. You're strengthened because you're weeping before the Lord. And you bring the finer dishes and the finer clothes to the Lord, okay, in prayer. Now, I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about from your heart. And as men, we're those rugged guys, and we'll pick up the club, we'll pick up the sword and say, no, Satan, you're not coming any further because I'm standing against you in the name of Jesus. And we're protecting the things of Christ. That's our responsibility as the family of God. Okay? Because once you lay eyes upon the one who's so great, once you lay eyes upon him, then we want to do what the wise men did. We want to give him our very best. We want to lay at his feet gold. Okay? Like he told the church, the last church in the book of Revelation, he told them, he said, go and buy for me with gold. Okay? Go and buy things in which you have repented of. Go. Give your very best. Give your goal. Other words, give your very best to me. What is your very best that you have to give to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yourself. Yourself. Give him yourself. The second church listed in the book of Revelation, he admonished them. And he admonished them hard. He admonished the first church, the church of Ephesus, and he admonished them hard. And the church in Ephesus, he really hit hard. And this is that sweet smelling aroma that was missing. He said, I know you're doing a lot of good things. You're doing a lot of good things. And you're resisting those who do things that are wrong. And you got a lot of church stuff going on. But there's one thing you like, and that's that sweet aroma in the nostrils of Christ. He said, you have forgotten your first love. Okay? Return back to your first love. Return back. That sweet. Guys, you know how in Berlin in our younger days, I used to love to bring that Victoria's Secret stuff. Okay? Because that was the stuff of the day. All right? And so Jesus wants something better than Victoria's Secret. All right? He wants something so marvelous and so grand, so sweet, that it literally moves the Father to tears because he says, that's my daughter. Look at her heart loving me. Or that's my son. Look at his heart loving me. Returning back to Jesus, giving him that beautiful, beautiful heart of ours that been transformed by the very power of the Holy Spirit as we heard the gospel and the gospel transformed us. That's what Christ wants. He can care less about your pocketbook at this point. Because as King David said over in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, he said, Lord, what can we give you that you don't already own? Okay? Say, all the gold is yours, all the silver is yours, all the diamonds and rubies, all the pearls, everything, Lord, we're giving back to you from your own hand. You remember reading that? So it's not that part God wants. Jesus says, I want you right here. I want you to bring it back to me and give it. So a church that was part of the Macedonian Empire, the church in a seaport city by the name of Thessalonica, had a population around 200,000 in Paul's day. That's a lot of folks. That's Gainesville, when the student population is not in, Gainesville averaged, they say, between 150,000 to 200,000 people. Okay, that's a lot of folks, right? A lot of toilet paper. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I don't know where that comes from. So, anyway, but think about this. Think about this. Watch the testimony that Paul gives us about this church. Paul established this church on his second missionary journey by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And Paul went there twice. He went on a third missionary journey. So someone has wrote Paul and said, look, this young church is having trouble. And keep in mind now, you just can't drop it in FedEx and it gets to Paul the next day. Amen? That means somebody had to take a ship, somebody had to take a donkey, and then somebody had to do Shoe Leather Express. So it took weeks and months to maybe to get the letter to Paul. And then when Paul sat down and addressed the issue, it took weeks and months to get the answer back to them. And in the meanwhile, hell is breaking loose in the church. In fact, the stronghold that began have gotten even stronger over time. So we're going to take a look at something here because it's very, very applicable for today. That's why these things are going to happen. Take a look first at the testimony that Paul gave them. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I love how he opened his letters. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. Because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty good testimony there. And if you go back to the first book, the first letter that Paul wrote to this young church, in his opening letter, chapter 1, Paul talks about how they once served false gods. And by hearing the gospel, these people saw Jesus. They saw the redempted Christ, okay, and his glorious power on the cross and his glorious resurrection from the dead by God the Father. And they also saw his ascension back into heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit. All this was preached to them. And they accepted it. They accepted that God had done all these wonderful things through his son Jesus. And in doing so, they walked away from the dumb idols that they was worshiping. They walked away. Because there can only be one Savior of mankind, and there is only one Savior of mankind, the man Jesus. And they knew that the Jesus Father was the one true God. They knew that. And so they walked away from the false gods. But somehow when Paul left them, some false teachers came in among them. And folks, let's parallel that today. People hear the gospel. They go to these places called churches, right? And each church have a different name so they can have their own identity, right? Local autonomy. And the gospel is supposedly preached, and people are touched by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Am I right? And they realize through the convincing power of the Holy Spirit that they're sinners, that they have sinned against God. You and I were one of those people. And through the atoning blood of Jesus, we agreed with God that without Jesus, we couldn't be saved.
Amen.
And we agreed with Jesus that the only way in which we could be saved is embracing him and loving him and keeping his commandments. And the moment we did that, Jesus Christ allowed the Spirit of God to enter us. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit already knew every heart that was ripe and willing at that moment to receive Christ. And so we were sealed with the precious Holy Spirit as we heard the gospel of Christ. And we followed in Christ's footsteps through baptism. We did that. And so we're under the teachings of the Lord. So can you imagine? So this goes on in the 21st century. But however, not everyone who's sitting there and everyone who's listening are taking heed to the gospel message. Not everyone listening is sitting and waiting for Jesus to come back. They're not waiting to watch God's Son step out on the cloud and his glory destroys the evil presence that's around them. They're not waiting and listening as he tells us to be. And always be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain, no matter how bad things may get. So there's still people today hearing this glorious gospel like the church in Thessalonica did. Okay? And believe that a lot of people are coming out of sin when they hear this. Okay? But yet the enemy of God lurking in the background is also watching and waiting. Waiting for the right moment and waiting and looking for this, the weakness in the fabric, the weakness in the seams of the church to interject false teachers. Because the moment there are signs in which the people stop wanting to hear this pure gospel and want things that satisfy their soul, the moment the enemy will prepare a folks to go up in there and perpetrate ministers of righteousness.
Amen.
And he will give the people what they what? Want. And it breaks God's heart because the spiritually minded people who's supposed to be alert and watching for these things, like the people who told Paul, say, hey, something going on back here. Something's not right in Thessalonica, Paul. People are saying that Jesus Christ has already returned. And Paul's saying, what? You never heard that from us. So today, people are saying things about Jesus that are not true in the church. We got so much other stuff being preached in the church that people are no longer hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ in a lot of these gatherings called the church. And folks who were once rooted and grounded in the gospel are now being twisted and manipulated into accepting something else.
There's a church that's out for that. Man says he is Jesus.
Yeah. A bunch of lies. And he literally, and even in South America, they say he has about 10 million followers.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
Huge. And look at this. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, then you subject yourself to every kind of wind of doctrine that comes in the church. That's why I tell you all, when you attend Bible study, when you come in here and you're hearing me preach the gospel, open up the Word of God and follow along to see if I'm in fact telling you the truth. And if I'm not, challenge me, get on me, say, oh, Pastor, hold up. That's not what my Bible says. That's not what my Bible says. Either you get with it or get gone. Because we're not going to have it. And I tell you, no man of God is that rooted over God's house that you can't boot his butt out the door when he's messing up like that. Are you hearing me? I don't care if his name is on. I don't care what kind of paperwork his name is on. If he ain't preaching the gospel, guess what? He can't have a church if you're not here. Amen? I'm serious. Then go find somewhere else where the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached and taught by the anointing and the power of God. That's where you need to be. And so what happens here, this church, for a great moment, took their eyes off the true teachings of Christ that Paul and Timothy and Sylvanus went and gave them. And can you imagine being Apostle Paul when you get this message? Your heart is broken. Because you know that's not what you left them. That's not what you initially gave them. Okay? Today, there are thousands upon thousands of churches in this country and around the world. I see where now, I see people locally running to churches where they don't have a pastor, but the church is filled because it's being fed in from somewhere else out of state by satellite. What happened to where Paul told Timothy and Titus, go and appoint elders in every city? In other words, you go to every place and you allow them to have their own pastor as they're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. They're the ones that are supposed to preach this gospel. Why it had to be piped in from hundreds and hundreds of miles away? Because somebody's a popular preacher, and that person ought to be ashamed of themselves trying to have autonomy, authority over people that far away. You mean to tell me the Holy Ghost is not that powerful anymore to be able to train up other leaders like he did you? That's a manipulation. That is a manipulation. It's all right to put the gospel out on podcasts and things like that so it can go to a place where people never heard the gospel before. But even among those that get saved, God will raise up a shepherd to oversee them. And that will feed the body of Christ and protect them. How are you going to protect the body if you're in another state all the time?
That's right.
How are you going to know their needs? And how are you going to know their feelings? How are you going to know their desires? How do you know they're walking right? You know what Paul did? Paul left folks in place. Local leaders. And when things weren't right, they called for a conference with Paul. Okay? Look at the situation with Paul with the Ephesian elders. Okay, go over to Acts and read it, and you'll find out what happened. Those brothers was weeping when Paul says, this day you shall see my face no more. And also because there are going to be dogs who come in among you. Okay, and they're going to attack the body, but it's your responsibility to protect them. And the scripture tells us over there towards the end of Acts that those Ephesian elders, they wept because Paul had said to them, not that they had a responsibility to protect the flock, but because he said, my face you shall see no more. It broke their heart because they knew that they had a powerful man of God standing there with them. But what they didn't know at that time, that God gave them the same spirit to protect those folks as Paul did. Okay? so that there would not be a great falling away from Jesus Christ. This is a sad day. Listen, in chapter 2 here, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." Did you hear that? Other words, there's going to be a mass exit away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, reason why your pastor's telling you this is because the Holy Spirit told me to tell you all to open your eyes and see it happening right now.
The day of the Lord is...
Although Jesus is not going to come back until there'll be a great falling away. And then what it says next, it says, unless there's a falling away comes first, and then the man of sin is revealed. That's the Antichrist. For the son of prediction, other words, the son of prediction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, there must also be another temple built in Jerusalem. When you come, what are you talking about, preacher? How is he going to sit on the temple of God in the, you know, and proclaim himself to be God unless the temple is rebuilt? And right now, all hell will break loose if the Jews try and put a temple where the Dome of the Rock is. People, something is about to happen in Israel. There's word on the streets right now, talk of a third temple. And if that don't shake your boots based upon what Paul says here, you better open your eyes and ask God to show you what's going on. Just as sure as we're standing here talking, that temple is coming. And just as surely as I'm standing here talking to you all, before that Antichrist shows up, there's going to be a lot of people walk away from Jesus. And I say to you, they already have in many ways. The moment you start giving heed to false doctrines rather than the doctrine of Jesus Christ, you have already walked away. You're just in a gathering place called church. Okay? And people think, oh, that church is growing. They got thousands. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit go in and do inventory of the hearts of people, and he will show you, if he wants to, who's really his and who's not. And I say to you, you remember what Lord Jesus says, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love who? One another. But what kind of love? With the love that he has loved us with. Right? Agape. Why? He said that so that they would know that you are my disciples. Let me ask you this. Why is there so much hell between God's people if they're in fact the children of God doing what Lord Jesus said to do? That is to love one another with his love. That's the first demonstration that there's a lack of the Holy Ghost at work in churches. It's when no matter what a man or woman has done, they go and embrace that person and say, you know what? You may be struggling with this sin, but I'm going to help you. Okay? Go and read Galatians 5. Read Galatians 6. And you find out where the Apostle Paul tells them, you who is strong in the faith, okay? Go to that one that is weak and lift him up. Okay? Because face it, people, there are going to be days that I, as a pastor, I'm going to do something bad. I hope not. But in my moment of weakness, Paul saying, you know what? Instead of coming chopping my knees off so I can't walk any further, and then when I fall, you chop my head off. He said, instead of doing that, how about coming and giving me some crutches? By the way, come hold my arms up and say, hey, brother, we're going to hold you until your legs are getting strength again. Instead of judging me. When the world sees that kind of love, they're going to say, hey, that's Jesus. That's the one that they've been talking about, the one who hung on the cross. Because it's hard for an ungodly person to understand that why would him who was murdered want to love me, a murderer? That don't meet the common sense test. But it does. Why would Jesus love a child molester? Our first inclination is to take him out and hang him. But if you're following the teachings of Jesus, your first inclination by the Spirit is to fall on his knee, on your knees, and do what for him?
Pray.
Pray for him. Pray for him. Bunch of us want to take ropes and tie them up and drag them behind our trucks. That's not Jesus. Because if anybody have a right to do something like that, it's Jesus. Hanging on the cross, he looked out at his killers. Imagine that now. Come on, get this now. You're hanging on the cross, and there at your foot are your killers. And you know that you're about to die. And he says to the God of creation, his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That would have sent shockwaves through me if I'd have been one of the guys that, can you imagine the one that drove the nails through his hand when he heard that? Can you imagine the Roman soldiers standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus died and the earthquake occurred? When the darkness came upon the earth, that soldier stood at the foot of the cross and said, this indeed is the Son of God. Wow. Wow. And this is the same Son of God that Roman soldier made that statement about that day after they had just killed him. And if they could have taken it back, they would have that day at the foot of the cross. And as Paul would tell the church in Corinth, he said, had they known who Jesus really was, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. They wouldn't have done it. But it had to be done because the scriptures had to be fulfilled. God cannot lie. God said that the Messiah was going to die, according to Isaiah 53, according to Psalms chapter 16 and chapter 22. It had to happen. Okay? And that God was going to raise him from the dead, as Psalm 16 says, you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. So God had to resurrect him, because God is not a liar. You understand me? And so these men that was privileged by God to witness these extraordinary events knew that God was God and that Jesus is in fact the Son of God. And Paul, the man who was beat often for preaching the gospel, and he made this bold statement. He said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. You mean to, after somebody just kick you in your back part, Paul, you're still saying you must go on? He said, yes. You mean to tell me after wild animals attacked you in Ephesus that you still must go on? Yes. You mean to tell me after you were shipwrecked and left in the sea overnight that you must go on? Yes. You mean when the viper hung to your hand and should have killed you with his venom? You're saying, Paul, that you still must go on? Yes. And he did. Because he was in love with Jesus. Paul loved the Lord Jesus Christ more than he did his own life. And that's why he's telling us, let me tell you something, don't believe their stories. Don't believe their stories. Stick to sound doctrine. Believe what the scripture says, because Paul and those brothers were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ was from Genesis to Malachi, and everything that Jesus did fulfilled all the prophecies in those books. And that's what Paul preached. He showed his countrymen from the Holy Scriptures that everything that was written, that's Jesus, God's Son. And every day here, the Lord God is going to allow me this morning, the Spirit laid out subsequent sermons for you all. Okay? As I sat there and I laid it, as he was speaking to me, I could see clearly where he was going with this. You all are blessed people. You got some wonderful thing coming from God in the Scriptures. Okay? Some great stuff from Lord Jesus is headed your way. And you just got to be open to it. And allow the Spirit to move you into that secret place of the Most High God where Jesus dwells. And he wants you there. But don't be dismayed because you don't see the numbers around you. Be encouraged to know that by the Spirit of the living God, you're holding on to Jesus. And that your eyes are still fixed on the author and finisher of our faith. Okay? It gets tough when you come in here and sing like you're just singing the walls or preaching the empty chairs. But your labor is not in vain. Okay? We must keep going because God said, as he showed me this morning, his thoughts are not mine. He knows what he's doing with us. His ways are not my ways. He knows what he's doing. In spite of what my desires may be for you all and for the town, God knows what his plans are for this town, for these people. My job is to be obedient. Okay? And that's what I'm doing. You must be saturated in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must clothe yourself in the gospel. And you must live according to the gospel. You must allow the Spirit of God to speak to your hearts through the gospel. Because there's a day coming that your buddies, your pals, or whatever you want to call them, are going to walk away from Jesus while you're still planted there. You're going to watch them leave in droves. But at the same time, you're going to watch the Holy Spirit get a great harvest of true believers, true worshipers. Because what did, do you remember the statement that Lord Jesus made to the woman at the well? Do you remember his bold statement? He said, God is spirit. You remember that? And he said, you find it in John chapter 4. And he said, those that worship God must worship him how? Spirit and truth. But what Lord Jesus connected with this was something that blows your mind. Something that you and I don't often pay attention to. Do you know what that is, Deke? He said, God is searching for such ones. What? That means the Father from heaven is going, let me see. Nah, that's not one. Oh, yeah, that's one. What about over there? No, not there. Well, what about all these sitting in this row? No. Okay, what about, oh, yeah, that's one. Uh-huh, that's one, that's one. What did I just describe to you?
A willing spirit.
God's looking. He's searching for true worshipers. And he knows them when he finds them. Because the heart is also looking for him. Some days I say to the Lord, Father, where are you? I know I messed up, Lord Jesus, but where are you? I was driving home the other day and I said, God, so Lord Jesus, I need to feel your love. I need to feel your presence, Lord. I feel like I'm such a failure right now. I feel like I've been beat up. And Lord God, I need to see you. Just driving home, this wonderful thing happened. I can't remember what it was. And I was praying to the Lord this morning, and I was saying to him, I said, you showed me two things right away. I said, the first one, I don't remember what it was, but I know it was glorious. And the second thing that the Lord, and I know the hours is coming for us to close here. The second thing was, I was driving by Forest Grove. As I passed Forest Grove, I looked and see there was a big old tree across the road. But I seen these tree surgeons out there working, and they had this bobcat. And they was picking it up, and I'm going, man. And they had no warning signs to let people know, hey, there's a big old tree across the road. We just cut it down. Right? So I'm watching this. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, the police need to be here to see this. He'll probably get them for that. And the guys, they made haste. It only took them a couple of minutes to get it moved. And they had rakes raking off the leaves and had a blower blowing. I mean, they did a good thing really fast. Got the highway cleared. But what I didn't see on the other side of those limbs of that tree was a deputy sheriff sitting in an SUV waiting to get through too. And as he was driving by, he got on his PA system and he said, good job, guys. Good job. And he drove on. And that touched me deeply. And God said, see, my presence is where you least expect it. Because how often do you hear police drive by waiting and say to guys over the PA system, good job. And I go, wow. He said, I will show you love in places that you least expect it. You got to be searching for it. Searching for it, Zor. Searching. And I wanted to go over Timothy with you, but time's up. Where it says, the Spirit told Paul to write to Timothy, it says, in the last day, the Spirit expressly says, in the last day, there's going to be a great falling away from the faith. People are going to say to Lord Jesus, I'm done. I'm done. I want something else. There got to be something greater than this Jesus. But they're getting a false Jesus. They're not understanding the spirits behind these soothsayers that's in these places called churches. Because the Holy Spirit of the living God, he allowed the true folks to bring Jesus in here. Amen. Okay? Bringing the glory of Jesus back into the church. Because that's where he belongs. The church belongs to Jesus, not to us. You need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to constantly. So you want to go get them? You need to tell them that I'm done here. Just tell them. You don't have to go get them. Just tell them I'm done. And you need to see Jesus in everything you do. Like those shepherds that night. All stinky and smelling like sheep. Go beat feet. They didn't say, oh, let me stop by the house and take a bath. Those men went straight from the sheep. Went straight to Bethlehem. And went right to the place where the angel led them. Right to him. Because their hearts were searching. They had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ by way of the angels. And they went directly to Jesus himself. Not yet able to speak as a human baby. But they went directly and they saw their King and their Savior and their Lord laying there. Not knowing the ramifications of their visit. But the scripture says that they left there rejoicing for all that they had saw, because it was true. Read Luke very, very carefully and allow the Spirit to point these things out to you. Those men went and they was in the presence of God when they walked in the stable. Imagine that. But you say, but there's just a baby. You got to understand who the baby is. You got to understand who was sitting on high enthroned above that stable too. Huh? Who was enthroned there? God. Watching down on his baby. Oh, come on. Lord. Don't do that to me. Glory to God. Don't do what you want about. I get crazy when that happens. But please understand what I'm telling you. Wouldn't you want to have been one of those shepherds? I say to you, you are today. instead of looking at a babe in a manger, you're looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're one of his shepherds that the angel just said, come on and see this. There he is. There he is. Come on and see him. Wow. That's the way he do it here. Isn't that how y'all talk, Zora? That's the way we do it here? That's Jesus. That's the way Jesus rolled. Okay? I don't know that language today. I'm trying my best to learn it. Oh, you don't say it like that? Oh, God. Okay. I just batched that one up. Botched that one up. Okay.
So we're going to be preaching next time.
Amen. Because it's all about Jesus. I hope you seen nothing but Jesus here today. I hope you saw what those angels were telling. Because after all, they was in glory with him. When the angels showed up, can you imagine the message, Clinton, when they came down here? I mean, I can't have it. When they saw, when they came, Clinton, they came from heaven, having been with him how many thousands of years? We don't know. And that angel, we know who that is. Okay? What is your testimony? I mean, I can't help. I'm electrified right now. I got more electricity running through me now than an atomic bomb. So, Miss Vicky, please, y'all, see Jesus like this. Please, I beg you. I'm going to close the door, dog. Please, please. Okay? I beg you. I beg you. So, know this, know this. I'm still alive up here.
Amen.
Jesus. It's all about him, Jesus. Boys, come in, let's pray. Come on. Sit up here with me. Come on. Come on, Matthew, by Mr. Clinton. You rest of you put your drinks up there for now? Come on in, just switch. I can push it on back over. Good boy. Just sit your stuff up there. Thank you, baby. Glory to God. Come here. Come here, Aiden. So, every head bowed. Imagine being a small boy like this. God sees more than what a frustrated mother may see, or a frustrated father at times may see. Because imagine the young shepherd boy named David. How many times his father Jesse may have had to get on him? You know, and remember what his brother said about him? You just want to come watch the battle. You just being an honorary kid. Okay? Why aren't you home watching the sheep? And that's what we think about sometimes, the little ones, yes? But we don't know that Jesus has already ordained for them to be a David. Amen? Come on up here, son. We don't know that God may have just birthed a Solomon to build the temple. All right? We don't know that God, come here. may have just birthed a child to birth his son. Okay? Because all we see is this, and they're honoring this. That's what we see. But we don't know what's written in heaven for them, do we? We don't know their story. But God knows. Did your mama know that you would be playing for Jesus? Did she know that when you were this age? That you would be here today playing for the Lord? Did your daddy know that? Belinda, I bet your mama didn't know you would be teaching kids today the things of God. Jesus knows all of this. I know it's 12:04, I'm 4 minutes over, but who cares? You say, we do. Because God loves things that are orderly. Today, we had a wonderful visit from the Lord. And I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. Okay? Because he has plans for your life. And your plans from him is to make him known. Don't ever walk away from Jesus. If your friends want to go, let them go. But you, don't you ever walk away from him. You keep those feet planted on Jesus, the solid rock. And don't you let anybody cause those feet to walk off of Jesus. You stay in the will of God. I don't care what people offer you. You stay in Jesus. Are you hearing me? Never, never forsake his teachings. You stay there. Even when everybody else is popular, you stay with Jesus. Every head bowed, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your living word. Because we do know that in the last days, that in those days are upon us now, and we fastly see people walking away from you. Because they're going after strange doctrine, they're going after idols and all kinds of ways that are not your ways. But your spirit is calling out and has called out your true children. And he has sealed us with himself, Lord Jesus. And that you're molding and shaping us to see the kingdom of God come in. And you're letting us to see the will of God be enacted on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we're a blessed people by you. And that we're going to declare your name until you bring us home. And Lord, we're asking that signs and wonders follow these young ones now. In your name, let demons be cast out and let the sick be healed, Lord, and the eyes of the blind open, and men and women and boys and girls subject themselves to you for your glorious appearing we're waiting for. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anybody need prayer today? Do you want to stand in the gap for anybody today that we can pray for them? If not, Clinton, come on and dismiss us.
That over there.
Speak loudly, okay?
Everybody bow your head with me, please. Thank you, Jesus, for the message today. Thank you for everything you do for us, everything that you have done for us. Thank you for what you did for us on the cross that day. I pray that you use us to reach many more people in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.